Be seated, please. The Ten Commandments. I think we get the Ten Commandments. I mean, that doesn't stop us preachers from commenting, preaching, haranguing on them. And it's necessary, I suppose, that we do some of that from time to time. We do believe, know, that there is one God over everything, and that we should honor God by the way we live our lives. But, and you knew there was a but coming, didn't you? This time around, what caught my eye, instead of the Ten Commandments, nestled in the midst of these readings about law and crucifixion and religion, is Psalm 19. And not even all of it, but principally one line, verse 2 to be precise. One day tells its tale to another, and one night its knowledge to another. Well, also the first half of verse 3, although they have no words or language. Our Bible commentator, well, the one we most rely on in our Sunday morning Bible studies, is Chris Haslam of the Diocese of Montreal in the Anglican Church of Canada. Let me hasten to add that the Anglican Church of Canada has always been the Anglican Church of Canada. It signifies nothing about any group that's separated from the Episcopal Church. Haslam's comment on these two lines, much in line with my own thinking, so of course I think he's brilliant, is this. God's glory is told day and night, yet silently, to all people. I am such a sucker for story. Although I read a fair amount of nonfiction, my mainstay for as long as I can remember is fiction. I wrote my doctoral ministry thesis on the use of literature in preaching. I usually have a couple of books going, often one in audio version. When I'm really intense, I'll have the same one in audio and in an e-book or a paper book, so I can keep it going the whole time. But right now, it's a collection of short stories by Dashiell Hammett. It was a collection of short stories by Dashiell Hammett when I wrote this. I finished it yesterday. And Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. The latter, I've decided, is my Lenten discipline for this year, as it's not exactly my cup of tea. But I couldn't remember whether I had read it and felt that I really should, the should being the Lenten discipline part. I know she's all the rage again, not that she ever stopped being well-read and all of that, and I ought to delight in her, but sometimes I wish she would just say the thing. Yet she's well-published and I'm not. And we're reading her stuff 200 years later. Anyway, one of the reasons I feel so drawn, though compelled may be a better word, to novels and short stories and myths and fairy tales is that they often hit me where I live. And that can happen in hard-boiled detective stories as well as in the Odyssey or science fiction or the parables of Jesus. By hit me, I mean that something inside of me is moved emotionally. So one day telling its tale to another engages me, to say the least. The last couple of books before the ones that I've just talked about were books about books in some form or another. One was The Writer's Library. What a delightful book, a collection of interviews with contemporary writers focusing on what the writers read. So while it is nonfiction, it's about works of literature, stories and poems primarily. The other was The Midnight Library, a kind of fantasy whose premise is that our lives contain many more stories, many more lives than we can imagine, based on choices that we make. One day tells its tale to another. When that verse commanded my attention, it seemed to be telling me that we are all part of an unfolding story, with each day bringing a new book or chapter or paragraph or verse. Each of us is part of this saga that began being told as soon as anything was, as soon as creation began, as soon as God spoke the first word. While the day and night may not have words nor language, God does. It's just a language we humans have great difficulty understanding. The third verse in the Holy Bible, I was really hoping it was the first, but there are a couple of preliminaries. The third verse in the Bible tells us, "Then God said, let there be light." And by God speaking thus, we believe this whole story started. John writes it in the opening, in this way, in the opening of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And it's capitalized in just about any version you read. Sometimes, of course, this story without or beyond words is told in art and music and science and technology. But regardless of the medium, it is all one great epic story. There have been and continue to be those who insist on a single way of interpreting every little twist and turn of the story. There are those who would reduce it to a long list of laws and rules and regulations. Jesus appears to be reacting to such people in today's gospel reading. Centuries after the psalmist wrote about the tale and knowledge of one day being told to the next, Jesus is angrily telling those who would define God and righteousness as a set of transactions, my paraphrase, "It ain't over yet. This story is still unfolding before your eyes and in your ears." And he knew, being the capital W word, that the next chapters were going to be beyond difficult, torturous, in fact. Paul speaks to the significance of what had happened in Jerusalem when writing to the Corinthians. Crucifixion, the cross, overwhelms attempts by logic and wisdom and human language to understand the story, this story of salvation. God's wisdom is spoken in a language different from ours. He might as well be saying, it's like the knowledge one night imparts to another, or like the tale the day tells. The story, I believe, without pretending to understand the ins and outs, is the story of God's love for us and for all of creation. Along the way in this story was the unimaginable sacrifice of one human person in whom the divine being was uniquely manifested. This was accomplished in order to display God's power over everything else, including death. It sounds like we've been told the end of the story while we're still in the midst of it. And it serves as reassurance that we can, we must continue to live out our part in this story with its long, inexorable arc toward God's redemption of everything. Within that story, we are playing our parts individually, but much more importantly, collectively, with every choice we make. Sometimes it seems a kind of improvisational theater, each day beginning with, and then we are part of God's story, told by one day and night to the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.